Well, I am so thankful that there is hope this morning. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. And it is thinking about next Sunday that often people's hearts and minds are turned towards the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means to us and the joy and the victory that came because of the resurrection. But there was something that happened before the resurrection. And I'd like us to consider that in the scripture this morning. The title of the message that the Lord placed on my heart is Spiritual Paradox. A paradox by definition. Now there are different definitions of paradox. One of the definitions is a tenet contrary to received opinion. So that would be sometimes when we talk about irony or a puzzle. Another definition is it's a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense and yet is perhaps true. So that's one of the dictionary definitions of a paradox. Something that seems contrary to opinion or something that's contradictory in the way that it's stated. So I'd like us to consider a very important spiritual paradox this morning. And I trust that it will be a blessing to us because it is a key to attaining spiritual victory in our life. So as we look forward, and I am so thankful that the resurrected Lord is not just celebrated one Sunday out of the year. The resurrected Lord, those that are saved, it's something that we celebrate and rejoice in every day because we have daily victory because we serve a Christ that has risen from the dead. So as we think about the joy and the happiness that comes from serving the Lord and because of the resurrection, let's not forget that something happened before the resurrection took place. And there was something that we can learn from, and it is a key to our spiritual victory. Because there are a lot of mega churches that normally at this time of year, they are preaching the resurrection. Because that's something that's happy, and that's something that we rejoice in. But there is a paradox in this, that before we can get to the resurrection, there has to be a death. And we like things that are positive. We like good news. We like to get phone calls that the Lord really did something for someone. We like to hear good news from people that they had a victory in their personal life. But the paradox of it is this morning that if we want to reach a place of resurrection, and we want a place of life, and we want a place of true spiritual victory, it's only going to come about the same way that Christ attained His resurrection, and that was by way of the cross. In Matthew, in the 26th chapter, we're going to begin reading with verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. It says, then cometh Jesus unto them, he's talking about his disciples, and it said unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I want us to take note that Christ was in a place of extreme burden because he knew what was ahead of him. I wish in the flesh that there was something that we could share with you this morning, something we could tell you to do that you could just take and instantly everyone would be happy. Everyone would be fulfilled in life. Spiritually, everyone could just be happy and victorious, no problems, no trials, no battles. I wish there was something I could tell you to do in your homes this morning, And in your marriages, that if you just did that one thing, it would answer every difference of opinion. It would answer every frustration and every difficulty that you might face. I wish there was something I could tell you, if you would do this, it would take care of everything. But the reality is that man is a few days and what? And born of trouble. There is trouble in life because of sin. And even though we serve the Lord, we are not exempt from many of the troubles that life brings. There's still going to be differences. There's still going to be challenges in your homes. There's still going to be misunderstandings. There's still going to be temptations. There's still going to be places that maybe you feel like that I fell short of what the Lord wanted of me. But the reality is that there is still a place of peace and victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that place of victory that we can experience, it comes by way of Gethsemane. Because again, remember, we have the resurrection, but before the resurrection, we find Jesus in the garden, and he was sorrowful, and his heart was heavy. And it said he went and he a little further, and he fell on his face. This was more than just bowing his head, saying, Lord, help me, and moving on. He fell on his face because he was distraught. He was hit, he was burdened, and he was just getting prostrate before the Lord and just wanting the Lord to, Lord, I need your help, God, Father. I need you to have mercy on me. And it said, he prayed this, Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I'm sure that all of us have prayed or had a similar desire of our heart in the things that we face in life. Lord, Could you just let this pass from me? Let the temptation, just let it pass from me. Let the people problems, just let it pass from me. Lord, if you can just remove this problem that I'm facing in my life. It might be personal, it might be with someone else, but Lord, just get me out of this. Help me escape from this problem. But I will say I'm so thankful this morning that Jesus did not end his prayer there. He said, Lord, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not I will, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So Jesus, in his suffering, he willingly surrendered himself and his will into the hands of the Father. And it took him from Gethsemane, not to the resurrection, but it took him from Gethsemane to a place where he was falsely accused. It took him to a place that his motivations were misaligned. It took him to a place where those that were closest to him and should have been there supporting him, they betrayed him. It took him to a place where he was beaten and he was suffered physically, and that then it took him from that place of trial, it took him to the cross, where he was crucified, where he was rejected. And you know, the pain was, it was horrible. But I think some of the greatest pain that Jesus bore was not the nails. It was the rejection. Because there's a saying that says sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I don't know where that saying came from. I don't know the history of it, but it is one of the things that's furthest from the truth. There have been times that I would have much rather someone just thrown stones at me and hit me with a stick, because their words did a lot more damage. Christ endured that because of his love for us. And when he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt, we find that that was the beginning to the victory that we found through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died, but we know that he rose again. And he died for us, but he rose that we could experience the real victory and the real joy and the real peace in serving the Lord. But this is the reality. And this is one of the places that it's very difficult sometimes for us to wrap our minds around. That if there had been no Gethsemane, there would have been no cross. And if there had been no cross, there would have been no resurrection. I have found that this is also true in our lives this morning. If you want victory personally, if you want peace with God, if you want the Lord to bless your marriage, if you want the Lord to bless your home, if you want the Lord to bless in your relationships with people, the joy and the peace and the victory will only come by way of Gethsemane. And therein lies the paradox. Jesus spoke very plainly in the book of Mark in the 8th chapter. He said when, in verse 34, he said when he called the people unto him with his disciples also. Now, Jesus promised peace if we were to follow him. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He promised victory. He promised victory over sin. He promised joy. But it didn't come without a price. We want the good, but folks, to get to the good, the paradox is there's a price to pay for it. So he called the people unto him, and this is what he said. He said, whosoever will come after me, let him, you remember? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall save it. Therein is the paradox. If you want life, Jesus said, you must die. If you want to follow me, it was not saying you have to follow me. The Lord is not forcing any of us to follow him this morning. He's not going to force us to a place of resurrection. He's not going to force us to a place of peace. He's not going to force us to a place of victory. But if we want the peace of God in our life, this is the paradox. Jesus said, whosoever is going to come after me, these are the conditions. And so many times, we don't want to meet the condition. I just want the resurrection. I just want the joy. I just want the good marriage. I just want to get along with people. But there's something that we're going to have to do. We're going to have to come to Gethsemane. And Jesus said, take up, deny yourself. In other words, forsake your own way. But see, that's counterintuitive. Because we're in pursuit of joy this morning. People say, I want to be happy. I want the joy of the Lord. It's so give me what I want. My way, if everyone would do what I wanted on time, I like people being on time. So if everybody was on time, they did it the way I wanted, and I had lots of money in the bank, and everybody did what I wanted, would that really bring happiness? You see, the reality is that true joy and true peace does not come by what everybody else does. It comes by something internal in my life. When I come to a place that I yield myself and surrender my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, then He can give me His peace, regardless of what's going on around about me. So we're going to have to, if we're going to follow the Lord this morning, these are the conditions. And I know a lot of people are preaching a different message than that. But these are the words of Christ. He said, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be saved, if you want eternal life, these are the conditions. This is what you must do. You've got to deny yourself. And that's not always easy. Because it comes by way of great sorrow to take our hands off of something and say, Lord, not my will. And then he said, take up your cross. Embrace the way of Christ. Lord, I'm going to give up my way. This is what I want. But Lord, I'm going to submit that into your hands. There is nothing wrong with having dreams and plans and goals and purposes. I believe God's people ought to be a people with a plan. I believe God's people ought to be the most responsible and industrious people on their jobs, in their marriages, and in life in general. But with all of the plans that we have, we are going to have to come back and say, Lord, I place it in your hands, and not as I will, but as thou wilt. This is the key to true victory and true peace this morning. Take up your cross and then follow him till death. That's not a short-term decision. That's not a half-hearted decision. It's a place that says, Lord, whatever it takes, I want your will to be accomplished in my life. We want peace and we want power and we want life. We want joy. But the question is this morning, are we willing to do what it takes to get there? We must follow the path that leads to Gethsemane. Too many people are just trying to jump or hop over to the resurrection, and it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense because that's the paradox. The resurrection without the cross. The cross without a Gethsemane. True spiritual fulfillment and peace is found when we deny ourselves and embrace Christ. Many of the teachings that are in the Word of God, and we could spend a lot of time going through those. Isn't forgiveness one of them? In the flesh, we don't want to forgive. In the flesh, there is something that is fulfilling. In the flesh, there's something that just to hold on to a hurt. But it's not, that doesn't bring peace. Jesus said forgive. And when we forgive, God forgives us. And that's when we find the true peace of God. So are we willing? We say, well, I want to be at peace. Are we then willing to go through Gethsemane and the cross and give those things to the Lord? Are we willing to give the hurts and the bitterness and the way that people have treated us? We say, Lord, I want peace. But are we willing to take up the cross and lay down the hurts? Humility. The scripture says God resisteth the what? The proud. But he gives grace to the humble. See, we like to skip to the grace part. And how many times, and again, I'm just going to come back to marriage here, because there's a marital paradox as well. In our homes, and in our families, and in dealings with people in general, we want to skip to the grace part. When something doesn't go your way, or you're on a job, or someone in the congregation, and you know, that happens, people in the saints will hurt you sometimes. So how are we going to respond to that? We want the resurrection. We want the joy there, but it only is going to come by Gethsemane. If we want the grace of God working in our life, that means God helping us, we're going to have to humble ourselves. We're going to have to humble ourselves. And the thing is, it's counterintuitive, because who's going to stand up for me? Who's going to take my part? If there's a difference, and so there's a difference of opinion and someone's really pushing for their way, who's going to stand up for me? So I've got to stand up for myself, and maybe God will get a little bit aggressive about it. Maybe raise the voice a little bit more and start pushing a little bit more, because I want my way and I've got to stand up for my opinion and my thoughts. Does that bring peace and joy? Does the person that pushes and shoves to get to the front of the line, is that really the happiest person? Because they can come out saying, I got to the front of the line. But are they the happiest? They're not. God will bring grace and give us power when we say, not my will. You say, but Brother Michael, that doesn't make sense. You're right. It does not make sense, but it's the way it works. If we want grace, it comes by way of Gethsemane when we say, Lord, I'm going to humble down and not my will, but I want your will to be accomplished. You will find this is a key to solving a lot of marriage problems. It's a key to congregational problems, and it is ultimately the key to following Jesus Christ. It's not my will. I want to deny myself and take up my cross, because Jesus said the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. That's a spiritual paradox. How does it work? Well, it works. Is it, does it bring peace when you always get pushed to the end of the line? Have you ever seen someone be just really happy because they always get neglected and they always end up at the end of the line? They're always the last one chosen if you're going to play a game. No one wants you on your team. I will say, you say, well, I'm last. You know what? That's not a peaceful place to be either, is it? So if you push and shove to get to the front, that really doesn't bring soul peace. You may have got what you wanted, but it doesn't bring peace. But it doesn't bring peace either to be shoved to the back of the line. That's not what Jesus said. He said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. It's not that we're being shoved to the end. It's not that we're allowing ourselves to be walked upon or trodden over. It's that we are voluntarily taking a step back and preferring someone else. Have you ever been where there's 9 servings and 10 people? I think probably a lot of you have. If you push to the front of the line, you'll go home with a full belly. But I want to tell you something. The person that voluntarily steps back and prefers the other 9, they'll go home with an empty belly, but I'll tell you, the peace in their soul will last longer than the full belly of the one that got in front of the line. So that means that in our relationships with people, in our relationships with God, when we voluntarily say, not my will, but thy will be done, that is where true peace and true victory comes from. Paul said it this way in Philippians 3, verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom have I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Why? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, which means this, and this is again a spiritual paradox. When we lose voluntarily, we will gain. When we give up for Christ, that's where the victory is found. When we humble ourselves to the Lord, it's where we get grace. When we, in honor, prefer someone else, when we are not the ones standing up fighting for our position, that doesn't mean it's wrong to express. But when we begin to agitate and we begin to get carnal and we begin to get defensive, I want us to know we might win our point, but we're not going to have victory. We might get what we want. We might get our way, but that's not what's going to bring peace. So Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Because if we lose our life, we're going to gain it. And that is one thing as we bring this to a conclusion this morning. I mentioned the marital paradox. The scripture teaches us that marriage is about forsaking all others. Now, is that really bring happiness? You might think, well, just get whatever you want, whenever you want. That's what people are trying to do with the Lord. They want to hold on to the world and yet hold on to God. And Jesus said, this doesn't work. You can't serve two masters. Marriage is the same way. We must forsake all others. And then what does the scripture teach us to do? He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And you think, well, if I'm looking after my self-interest, why would I sacrifice myself? Because then I can't get what I want. Key to successful marriage, husbands, do it the Bible way. And you say, but that doesn't make sense. It's counterintuitive. But when you do it the Bible way, you will find that's where the blessings of God lie. Even if your wife isn't doing what she ought to do, but you love her and see Christ loved even when his bride wasn't doing what she should have done. Christ still loved us while we were yet sinners. And do you know it was that love that drew us to him? And the same applies to the bride. Same applies to the wife. The scripture says to tell, teaches to honor and to obey their husbands when they agree with him. That's not what it says. It says to obey him in all things. And that is as unto the Lord. It's not just an outward thing, it's an inward submission that I honor my husband and I'm gonna respect that position and that place, and that's where the true beauty is. And that means some people say, well, they're not doing their job, they're not doing what they're called to do. But do you know true peace in marriage comes by doing the right thing for the right reason regardless of the other person? And then the true beauty of marriage is found when you find two people that are both doing it the Bible way, and that's where you find the true beauty of marriage. This morning, I would just like to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. If you want true victory, and you've been holding on to some things, the Lord might be saying this morning, you need to submit those to me. You need to yield those to me. And in your relationships with people, in your home life, there are some things that are going to be a paradox, but if we will do it the Bible way, if you want the power of the resurrection, it's only going to come by dying out to self. My will, my plans, my purposes, and when we begin to fill the fence or we want to begin to hold on, those yellow caution lights ought to be going off. This is a place we need to come to Gethsemane, and it's going to be hard. And the reality is it might bring some tears sometimes, just like it did with Jesus. But at the end, he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I would that we each one experience greater victory in our life this morning. But it's a paradox how we get there. To have the power of the resurrection working in our life, it will only come through self-denial and yielding our way and our will into the hands of Jesus Christ. I believe God has greater victories for each one of us this morning. Amen. Please join us in singing. We're going to conclude with a song, Let Me Lose Myself and Find It, Lord, in Thee. That is the irony and the paradox of serving the Lord. If we lose ourselves, we will truly find life in Jesus Christ.